Now we are talking about crowdfunding platforms, as I was mentioning. A lot of those social enterprises are startups, they are not established organizations. So these startups especially need handholding. So organizations like Global Alliance for Social Enterprise, GACE, entities like this really help, where they are actually helping lots of lakhs of social enterprises, which are impacting billions of people. So especially when it comes to startups, they need this handholding and mentorship of entities like Transform Hub, entities like GACE, entities like the various other organizations that we will talk about. And for that mentorship to come in, for that buy-in to come in, for that guidance, for that professional help, for a Transform to take you on their platform, for a Acumen to invest in you, for a so many stakeholders, it's very important if your idea can come across in a more in a more believable manner. So coming back to social enterprise, corporate social enterprise, not necessarily CSR, but social enterprise, which is creating lasting impact. You have the case of IKEA. We're all familiar with IKEA. We, buy from IKEA, right from, 20 rupee products to furnishing our entire homes. So IKEA also has social missions and social enterprises in various parts of the world, and they have projects where they are creating employment for the marginalized community, livelihood opportunities for people who otherwise do not have access to the labor market. They are also encouraging their suppliers, etc., to undertake such benefit corp activities. And through these initiatives, they've actually managed to create close to 20,000-30,000 jobs for people who would not actually have access to the labor market. So, and these they have done across countries. So 5 to 6 countries have been covered by these special targeted projects where they have created labor opportunities for people who are otherwise isolated and left out of the labor market. They also tied up with the Acumen Fund, and they have, through that fund, they have done a lot of development activity and supported a lot of social enterprises in East Africa. So see, while they are undertaking various targeted projects within their own banner, through their own business processing, they are also lending support in collaboration with Acumen to enable other startups in other parts of the world. Because, it's not just about IKEA going there directly and doing some good, but someone has a great idea, okay? And let's support that idea and give them mentorship, give them funding, give them various other kinds of support, give them networking opportunities, give them the chance to interact with other stakeholders, and let them roll out their idea. So it's a combination of corporates carrying out these socially impactful activities on their own, or supporting enterprises which are eventually carrying out these activities. Now, also what becomes very, very important is healthcare becomes a very, very integral part of social enterprise. And healthcare becomes an extremely integral part of social enterprise. So, for example, you have J&J Impact Ventures, and they are working a lot with the marginalized communities to drive, healthcare support system, provide emergency services, access to emergency services. So all of these help not just create change for impact entities like J&J Impact Ventures directly, but also through social enterprises that they are supporting. So now across their various healthcare endeavors, initiatives, and working with people who need this urgent healthcare in the low-income communities, if you see, the impact has been massive, and they have trained here. They enhance the skill set. They work with local healthcare workers. They employ healthcare workers. They train families of patients. They train a lot of the people to ensure that this service or support system is being provided. And they have, through these, they have thousands of healthcare workers over, like, they have trained over 10,000, 11,000 healthcare workers, and managed to positively impact the healthcare needs of more than a million people, across. So impact is so much. And here I'm mentioning training again and again, because this training and this skill development helps to not just provide one-time help, but that goes towards helping on a sustained long-term basis. Also, what happens is that when it comes to families of people who are patients who are in need, very often if they become part of the ecosystem of learning, getting trainings, then they can help not only their family on a long-term basis or the patient in their family on a long-term basis, but they can also help in the communities. So it is benefiting not just the patient who is the recipient of this healthcare need, whether it is basic healthcare or emergency healthcare, but it is also a situation where it is creating this community where the healthcare providers are being nurtured and being given training and skills so that they are becoming more self-reliant for basic help and needs. Of course, for anything specialized, they will need to reach out, go to the doctors, go to the medical facilities. But the way you have paramedics all over the world with certain kind of skills and training, basic help and self-sufficiency in the communities can be created in this support system for healthcare for marginalized groups. Now, J&J Impact Ventures has seen so much good and has received such good feedback that they have committed actually more than $100 million over the next 5 years to continue endorsing these ventures in these areas that they are supporting. Now, while I'm talking about healthcare, one element, and in the past, as I was talking about value alignment, you look for people who have a special passion for something that you have a special passion for as well. So, for example, if you are someone with a technological idea, with a tech idea in the social enterprise space, and let's say you want to use technology to bring about climate improvement, reduce soil degradation, or something like that, then who do you think of to become a supporter and a mentor to you? Maybe a technology conglomerate, because you are wanting to use tech, and a technology conglomerate like a Microsoft would say, yes, we are in that business. This is our core goal. Instead of going and doing directly, which we may be doing through our CSR, various other initiatives, but you have a brilliant idea and let's support you as a social entrepreneur versus going out and doing it directly. So, for example, Microsoft has supported Vector, a social enterprise called Vector. And they support a lot of social enterprises which use artificial intelligence to bring about improvement in the in elements of protecting the planet in terms of climate change. So Vector Center is one of the recipients which has been supported by the Microsoft Center as well. So again, message being that you have, if you have an idea and you're looking for stakeholders, you're looking for collab, be innovative. Think of who would be really well poised to match your idea, to have a synergy with their core business and, you know, with your idea. So continuing with the various initiatives being taken all over and ideas which are being harnessed for social enterprise. So the way we have, you know, in India, we're very familiar with the shoe company Woodland, but internationally, you have Timberland, which is very, very big internationally. Now, Timberland has come up with a project where they are creating a line of shoes where the leather that they use, they source this leather only from ranches where the animals are, where the ranches use regenerative grazing practices. Now, what are regenerative grazing practices? Now, grazing pressure can very often affect the soil, affect the, land. Regenerative grazing practices are such which do not degrade the soil, which do not degrade the, land and environment. So they have a policy, and there are a lot of ethical ranches which are adopting these regenerative grazing practices. Okay, so you have a lot of, you have Timberland, which has committed to creating a certain line of shoes which are being created by this sourced leather sourced from ranches using this practice. Now, this is a very, very interesting idea, and also it is beneficial to both. Of course, Timberland may end up appealing to a lot of buyers who like purchasing shoes which have this social mission behind them. Also, this is creating a circular economy where it is being deployed. You are not taking away from the land. You are not taking away from the planet. So the influencing aspect of your ideas becomes very important, because like when I've told you this example of Timberland, now when they do something like this, then obviously it gets a lot more awareness and visibility. Let's say these smaller ranches have this great initiative, but they don't have the kind of platform to influence other people or showcase to the other people the good that they are achieving. But if it happens through this initiative or collab with Timberland, then this kind of initiative gets public, gets a platform for the world to become aware of it, which then creates this awareness, and a lot more other people may want to come and join. So it demonstrates to the world that it is possible, where people feel, oh, these kind of ideas not possible, this thing, too many challenges. It demonstrates to the world that these things are possible. It's very important to ensure that this kind of possibility is being conveyed to the world, because that is how you get more and more people to buy in. So for example, when you have a great idea, if it is well strategized, then organizations like your Global Impact Investing Network, GIIN, organizations like this will then help startups and will support startups and handhold. Now, this startups, there is a gap between idea and the impact. Now, organizations like GIIN can come in and help bridge that gap if they are aware of what you are doing, if your research has been done effectively, if they are buying into your idea. So likewise, you have a Selco, which provides solar energy solutions to marginalized communities. Now, the impact of what they are doing, communicated properly to the markets, to the stakeholders, is what will get the buy-in towards this idea. And, small enterprises which have this idea will get organizations like Selco or GIIN, etc., to buy into them. So, for example, you have Noora Health. Now, what Noora Health is doing is that they are providing training to healthcare workers, training to family members, where it is low-income groups where post-operative care is needed. Now, when there is a recovery process, okay, you have a recovery process, and very often in the low-income communities, the recovery process is not carried out effectively, or post-operative care is neglected. What does this lead to? This could lead to readmissions. This could lead to having to get the treatment done again, which is obviously not effective financially, emotionally, you know, in a lot of other ways. Not only is the patient suffering, but even the caregivers and the family are suffering. So Noora Health works to prevent this kind of relapse or readmission. So when they are doing this, let's say that someone wants to show this impact, communicate this impact globally to other stakeholders, then what Noora Healthcare can probably measure and showcase is, because matrices and numbers become extremely important, what they can do is that they can probably show the, you know, in the community that they are working, they can probably measure the percentage reduction in the number of readmissions which have happened post-operation, or readmissions which have happened post-treatment from the time that they started working with the community. So that kind of communication and awareness gives that credibility where other people then want to come in and buy into your endeavor. Now, market research and analysis also becomes extremely important from the point of view where you have to, you know, counter certain issues with changing mindset and with disruptions. So, for example, let's take the example of R2R, or Rags to Riches, which is a Philippine-based social enterprise. Now, they take a surplus fabric and they work with, you know, local women, and they basically create high fashion out of these fabrics. Now, earlier, these women were working through middlemen or whoever. This lady came in and she got them to work in an organized way, got them to, you know, create this high fashion, created employability for these marginalized groups, created livelihood, gave them flexibility in terms of how to work, have their work schedule so that they can work from home, take care of their families as well, while also generating this, you know, livelihood. Now, what they noticed, which is that while their cause is very noble, while their fashion is very good, but the customer in Philippines is extremely label conscious, fashion conscious, label conscious. So they are very brand conscious and they are reluctant to buy from an unknown brand. So how do you counter that? Now, this is something which they needed to make feasible versus, you know, encountering this reluctance. So they tied up with, you know, a few very well-known fashion designers who brought in that element of brand with them. They became the brand ambassadors for R2R. And that gave the acceptability among the consumers. Also, with these brand persons, then the world becomes more aware of this initiative. So these designers also, you know, gave design, consulted on the designs, and eventually R2R was a success. They are running through retail, brick and mortar stores, and a successful online business. So understanding the industry, what works in this industry, obviously brand consciousness, the feasibility, you know, bringing on these brand ambassadors, is that feasible for us or not? Is it cost effective for us or not? All of these elements will come into the picture when we are talking about business plans. There are a lot of AI elements. There are a lot of tools which are there to create your business plan right from, you know, the top-down value chain. You have to see what works for you. Today, we are living in a world of influencers, and it's all about numbers, followers, following, etc. But they track their matrices very, very closely. So the reason being that this monitoring, sharing, you know, of matrices gives lens and element of credibility, both to the investors and to the beneficiaries. You know, should I sign up to this? So, for example, you have a film called The New Breed. Now, what is the new breed doing? It is playing a very important role. It's basically capturing the journey of social enterprises right from the inception time, you know, the idea inception time to the time of the impact and to the time of the delivery and the social impact that they have had. So when the new breed would have followed these stories, obviously there would have been a lot of research. They would have carried out, followed the stories of those who thought through their strategy and their business plan in a very, very systematic manner, and hence had a positive social impact. And that can inspire other, entities to follow suit, so that they see, oh, this is practical, this can be done, you know, this is how it is done. So analyzing your strategy, business models becomes very, very important and vital. In executive summaries of companies, they have to, over and above their commercial considerations and just the CSR template statements, it would be very useful right from a small company to a small enterprise to a large enterprise to mention their mission and value. So for example, you have Tom Shoes. So Tom Shoes, what they do is, their model is that for every pair of shoes that a customer buys, they donate a pair of shoes to the to a child in need. Now, something like this can be part of their mission, vision, statement. And something like this can inspire others, can inspire awareness and communication of this, can inspire customers to choose to buy from Tom's Shoes versus a competitor, because, you want to patronize someone who's doing good. Another element of business plans in social enterprise specifically is the idea of inclusivity. So when you are working in a community, analyzing a market, especially in the marginalized communities, low-income communities, very often thinking of these communities as beneficiaries, employees, people as beneficiaries, employees, may be a little alienating. But if you think of them as co-owners, as an extension of your family, then the theme of inclusivity gets that much more commitment and heart and soul from these individuals. So for example, you have this initiative called Solar Sisters, where they train these women to go and provide clean energy to the local rural communities. Now, the very fact that they're calling Solar Sisters, it's an extension of the families. When we discuss Lijjat Papad, the case of Lijjat Papad, then we will see how they are called, the women associated are called Ben, which is the Gujarati or the Hindi word for sister. So you have this element of inclusivity needs to come across in your business plan as well. It's important that over and above just your theme and the noble cause, you think money also, because money is needed to sustain your project, make it scalable. So for example, let's say that you are trying to bring about employment for people with disability, or you're trying to provide some sort of wheelchair service app to people with disability, in the marginalized communities. But unless you have some sort of financial model, you will not be able to scale up your business. So it's important that you balance between the financial and non-financial elements. So hence, when you talk about funding and financials, one very important thing is to not put all your eggs in one basket. So for any entity, they should explore multiple avenues of funding. You may be looking at crowdfunding, you may be looking at corporate funding, you may be looking at seed capital from some incubator, you may be looking at some sort of philanthropy. It is important, you may be looking at some sort of grants. So it's important that you understand how much will you need at various stages and how you're going to source it. And it is very, very advisable to have multiple areas of funding coming or exploring multiple areas of funding and not having too much dependency on any one. And also here, if you are generating some sort of profits yourself, then that also reduces your dependency on external funding and makes you that much more reliant in terms of continuing your operations and your scalability. There are a lot of other elements which come into play when we're talking about business plans, feasibility, projections, etc. Now, you have to think about scalability. A challenge can be geographical scaling. So, you may have a stupendous success in a certain segment, but you need to understand the demographics, the various motivations, all of that in the other geography that you want to tap into for you to have that scalability. Likewise, for example, let's say you're working on a water project, you know, to provide clean drinking water. From your financial point of view, one is the funding. You could also look at cost reduction. So, of course, you want to enhance your funding, but maybe you can also explore cost reduction. So, the apparatus that you're using for this, providing this clean water, maybe you can explore various innovations where your cost of this apparatus is being reduced and you're using a model which is creating a little more financial ease for you. Other extremely important elements of idea to fruition and to success are that, especially in the social enterprise segment, you have to work as a community and you have to network a lot more, because that is where you will meet other people, incubators, investors, suppliers, your exhibitors, your various researchers, your institutes. And this networking becomes very important because traditional ways of doing PR are mostly not available to social enterprises. So it's important to stay in circulation and ensure people are aware of you. You are aware of what is going on. So, for example, when we're going to be talking about Unlimited and the projects that they are, social enterprises that they are promoting and the projects they are working on, then a lot of those testimonials from the entrepreneurs who have worked there show that these said that they were very happy that, you know, at the meets and at the gatherings, they had a community of social entrepreneurs, even if their idea was completely different from one another, because that provided a morale boost and provided a lot more confidence and, sharing of resources even. So in this, networking, sharing of resources becomes very important. Maybe land can be shared in a farming, initiative, land could be shared, agricultural equipment could be shared. We'll see certain models in Africa where there are, shared equipment, etc., which is being tapped into. Now, what the ways to collaborate to enhance the possibility of your idea reaching success are really, really, immense. So, for example, you could have let's say someone is having a fundraiser, for a garden project. You could probably, source from suppliers who are in the local area, foster this community, and then share these details. So if I talk about another social enterprise in Africa, then you have Shonaquip. What they're doing is that they are providing wheelchairs to people in the wheelchairs and wheelchair assistance to people in the marginalized and low income communities in the rural areas. Now, they have had so much, they've got a lot of technological support. They have provided a lot of technological support and they have actually become advisors. They have had such far-reaching impact that they have become advisors to the world, to the World Health Organization, to USAID, to the Bill Clinton Foundation. So it is not just about helping their enterprise, but that enterprise can help end up contributing back to other entities based on, you know, the kind of expertise that you have garnered and the kind of networking and knowledge that you have garnered. So in conclusion, taking your idea to success, understand it in a lot from a lot of points of view, from your business planning point of view, from your resources, funding, costing point of view. Do your studies. We're going to be getting into various strategy models, Porter's models, Pestel model, various others. So do all of these, and that is how you will have successes. For example, small ideas can be so successful. Now, taking the example of Kenya. In Kenya, there was a big problem receiving even basic mail and packages directly into your to your homes, because a lot of the buildings there don't have building names, or they don't have, lot of the roads are not marked very properly. So basic requirement need like that was being left unmet. Now here in this situation came in M-Post, because what M-Post did was M-Post took the allowed people to use their phone number as their postal address, and through that phone number it was easy to track and deliver your post and whatever other item. So now obviously for this there would have been so much study and so much analysis. Great idea, but study, feasibility, analysis to understand, is it workable? Will it work with the postal system? Is there accuracy out here, in terms of location and number tracking? How, security, safety, confidentiality, various other elements going in together to make sure that this became a successful venture. So when you're looking at your idea and you want your idea to become successful and scalable, then you have all of these elements to keep in mind, and so that also you can demonstrate to the world that it's possible. You know, when I was talking about the New Breed, the documentary New Breed, they demonstrated through the journeys of the entrepreneurs who were followed, they demonstrated to the world that whatever these innovative, completely out of the box, unimaginative, unimaginable things that one would have thought of are possible, doable, and create an impact which positively contributes to the people and to the planet. Thank you.